This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's the latest on the crew?
Let's find out now as Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports joins the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis.
Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL Draft.
Broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. And it's that time again, Monday and Thursday, 10 o'clock. Our best buddy, Drew Wagner from Forbes Sports and our Milwaukee Baseball Insider joins us. Good morning, Drew.
Hello.
How art thou this day off for the Milwaukee Brewers?
It's a Monday morning. I'm talking to you guys, having some coffee. It's a good way to start a day.
That's fair.
That's right.
How badly did the Brewers need to get that win yesterday?
Very badly, Mitchell Aaron Ellis. Very badly. That was they rarely have a must win in April, but that trip could have gone sideways real fast.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like, they had been sliding a little bit, had what, three close games, and but came on the wrong side of the win column. Yeah, so just tell us about like how they turned it around and like what was like kind of the recipe for success in this this last game against St. Louis.
I mean, they turned it around first and foremost because Jose Quintana is just dealing right now. I mean, he's incredible. And they went back to playing ball. You know, they went back to playing the way they did. The defense was much better. They were a lot smarter on the base paths. They just went out and they played Brewers baseball. They got a lead very early, right there in the first inning, and they had their starting pitcher carry them. It was just a good all-around game. It was much more indicative of the style of play that we've come to expect from these guys than the previous four or five games.
Yeah, totally agree. That's Quintana, like 4-0 as a starter, like that guy is just dealing, like you said. It's impressive when someone just comes out hot like that to start a season. Couldn't ask for a better start for him. Let's talk about this this series come up against the White Sox and Freddy Peralta on the mound. He's 2-2 as a starter this season. Just maybe compare like what we're looking at in a pitching situation against this White Sox team.
The White Sox are tough because they are not a good baseball team. They are I don't even know what the right word for it is.
But just not good.
Yeah, they have the ability to come out, and if you're not paying attention, they can come out and knock you on your rear end. They've done it a couple times this year. I think they did it to the Brewers last year. Can't remember what the – I don't think the Brewers swept them last year, if I recall. They got to go in there and not look past it, which is very easy to do, especially with the Cubs coming to town next weekend. They got to go in and take these three games seriously. And I think after what happened the last couple days, I think they've learned that lesson and – you know, they're going to be on their A game. I don't think Pat Murphy's going to let another slippage happen.
Mason, the White Sox are 7-21 for the record. I believe they have three or four wins against the Boston Red Sox, and they've lost to everybody else in the league. So hopefully the Brewers can take care of business this week.
Yeah,
I didn't want to bring up the Red Sox, Mitch. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's a long season. I wanted to, talking about some of those close games they had in St. Louis. They have the game on Saturday where Jack goes Jack in the ninth to tie the game. Jack Centurio, of course, with a two-run homer. And Mr. McGill gives up that to Arenado right away in the bottom of the ninth. Is there any cause for concern with Trevor McGill there in the closer spot?
I don't think so. I mean, he did pitch really, really well on that role last year. And granted, it's apples and oranges one year to another. But he's got good stuff. I don't think they lost any faith in him. It is early. It was a pitch to a very, very good hitter. And the timing of it was just deflating. Your closer can't go out there and be perfect every single time. We've seen that time and time again. Even the best guys scuffle here and there. I don't think there's much concern with Trevor McGill in the ninth inning role.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't get to catch all of those games there at St. Louis.
Were you busy or something?
I was a little busy.
I
was following
them. Were you doing 14 different autograph signings? Were you driving between Shawano, Green Bay, and Milwaukee nonstop?
Man, stop saying all the places. Like, I'm my head spinning again.
But I know.
I definitely was following along, and it was just like it was just like each one of those games kept from the Giants game. That they lost 5-6 through the first two Cardinals games. It was like they were right there on the verge and then just kind of like could not close it out and could not get those wins. Do you think, like, for this Brewers team, those types of moments, I remember as a, being on the Packers, like sometimes those, could vault you into a better space where you just kind of learn from them. Do you think they can learn from those games and kind of draw from them if they get in a tight game again later in the season?
I think so. I mean, I think that's what the benchings were for. There's a lot of lessons we've taken out of that. I guess to take a football analogy, to take a basketball analogy, you got to play the full 60 minutes, the full 48 innings, the full 48 minutes, full 9 innings. You can't get lackadaisical from pitch to pitch. You have to be aware at all times, and I think maybe they just kind of got a little buried in their own heads and lost track of, the immediate urgency. I think those are very valuable lessons. I think they will learn from them.
We got Drew Wagner here, Forbes Sports, our Brewers insider at By Andrew Wagner. You can find him on X. I was just, I'm thinking about, okay, we're almost into May. This team kind of is starting to show what they are. Like, how do you feel at the moment about this team and their chances, kind of like moving into summer? And like, I just want to know what your feel is with this team right now.
I still can't quite figure it out because we haven't seen them playing at full strength yet. They have done very well in the starting pitching category, all things considered. Their offense has taken some time to come around. I would be encouraged by the fact that Christian Yelich has heated up and Rhys Hoskins has been an absolute bender for the last 2 weeks. His batting average is damn near 300 now. His OPS is 1.2, or his OPS is a little over 800 over the last 10 or 15 games. He's got a 1.2 OPS, so.
That's
the offense
awesome.
Is heating up. Yeah, the pitchers are starting to get healthy. You have some question marks in the bullpen, but a lot of teams do it this time of the year. I'd be encouraged. They're getting through a fairly rough stretch, and they're going to be right around 500 by the time the month is up. That's a good sign after everything they've had to deal with this year.
Drew Wagner joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. Want to switch gears real quickly. You put up a poll on Twitter that I jumped on yesterday. Biggest mistake of the Giannis era. And you put up the options: trading Drew, firing Bud, hiring Griffin, hiring Doc. And I know you only get four options. And I don't think most teams talk about this. But in the 2014 draft, the Bucks did take Jabari Parker, who was the obvious number two pick. I mean, there's a chance, I guess, they could have taken Joel Embiid, but it really was between Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker for one. But wouldn't it have been nice if at 31 in the second round, the Bucks had taken Nikola Jokic instead of Damian Inglis? Jokic ended up going 10 picks later, 41. I don't want to say that's the biggest mistake of the Giannis era, But that sure would have changed the face of the franchise, wouldn't it?
I mean, that's the biggest mistake of every NBA team.
NBA team, right?
Yeah,
I just wanted to throw it out there. I did vote.
No, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know that anybody knew.
Imagine that.
Right. And every franchise is imagining, man, we could have had Jokic. He was the 41st pick of the draft. So trading Drew obviously is leading this poll because that's how fans think. Fans are like, oh, Drew would have been so amazing on this team, and Dame's been terrible, and this is how this works. And, I'm a casual NBA fan, and Drew was so much better than Dame. Oh, my God. I actually voted for hiring Griffin. I don't know if Griffin was the right hire or not. According to the players, according to a lot of basketball people, he wasn't. I don't know if that was a Giannis deal or an ownership deal. I don't think it was a horse deal, but it just seems like everything has gone catastrophically wrong since they hired Griffin.
Yeah, that's definitely right up there. That was a terrible hire. And I think all three of those choices kind of go hand in hand because that set it in motion. You can make the Drew for Dame deal okay. Firing Bud, hiring Griffin, then firing him and hiring Doc. I mean, you talk about squandering a generational talent. And we heard that here with the Packers for so long that, you know, they only got one Super Bowl when they had Rodgers. They only got one Super Bowl when they had Favre. I mean, there is no reason why this team should not have made multiple runs to the finals. I mean,
how about multiple get past the first round since they won the championship? I know before they won the championship, they won a playoff. They won numerous playoff series. But since they won the championship, they haven't won a playoff series. That's unbelievable.
That is absolutely nuts. It is absolute piss poor roster management. They have buried themselves. I said on Twitter last week, I got my new debit card, and I was like, wow, the expiration date is 2030, and I thought that was a long time away. Then I'm like, this card is going to expire before the Bucks control their own draft picks. Like, they are. You think about it, they traded how many second rounders for Jay Crowder?
Five?
You know? Yeah.
That's crazy. Just,
I don't. And then they give Horst an extension. And don't get me wrong, I like John. John is an incredibly nice guy, very nice guy. I enjoy talking to him. Great person. But he's got the easiest job of the NBA right now because he can't sign anybody, won't be able to trade anybody, and he doesn't have to draft anybody for about 5 years. You know, I don't understand what that organization is doing. You know, we sat there, Mitch, you and I went through the Cole era, and there were a lot of questionable moves and racing for an 8 seed in a first-round knockout. And yep. The only difference between now and then is now you have Giannis, and you're still getting booted in the first round.
True story. True facts.
I love it. I love the crosstalk. Yep. That's where the magic happens. Well, hey, if we're gonna crosstalk too, then what do you think about the weekend for the Packers in this draft class?
No Bengals talk.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Well. Yeah. How do you? We can ask. Yeah. How do you think your Bengals did? I didn't even see who they drafted. I wasn't paying attention.
I think they took a pass rusher. They took an edge, right?
Yeah. They took an edge rusher in the first round. That's all I know. And the only reason I know that is because the draft was on at the bar after our softball game on Thursday. I will be honest. I do not watch any draft coverage in any sport whatsoever because you're trying to gauge how guys are going to do at the highest level when they've been playing against, you know, basically kids. I didn't watch. Right. And as for what the Packers, I know the Packers drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bengals got Shamar Stewart, who we were kind of high on, from Texas A&M.
Yep.
Yeah. So I wish them all well. I wish them all luck. I heard the draft was just a rip-roaring party up in Green Bay for a couple days.
Yeah, it was. I was a part of a lot of that. I was everywhere. And you know what? Like, for me, the draft is less about the football side and more, it actually is like the human side of the sport, right? It's like these young players getting an opportunity, you kind of see their family, their support system, and you kind of just, it's almost like the hope of what can be. And then, next week they come to the facility and it's like, all right, what can you do for us now? And so it's like there's not as much, you know, sport and football around the draft. And I think that's what, like, the energy, that's where the energy comes from. And you could just feel it there in Green Bay this week.
Yeah, the pictures looked amazing. You know, I would flick through and see it on the news. And, you know, what was the population of Green Bay is, what, 100,000 people? And they said they had 600,000 there for the weekend. That's absolutely insane. I mean, I lived up there for a while. I know how much they love their team. I know how much they love the game. You know, great for the community. Great for the young men that had their lives changed. Like, it's awesome. It's absolutely incredible. I just have a hard time breaking down draft picks. And, you know, I watch these Mel Kiper guys, and I'm like, what in the hell are you talking about? You know, it boggles the mind how they can assess whether a draft was successful or not based upon analogies. The guy hasn't played a single snap in the NFL, but people can sit here and determine whether or not this guy is successful or not. I don't understand it. It's the one thing in sports, I cover all of them, it's the one thing I just don't get into.
Well, Drew, I really appreciate it. Drew Wagner with Forbes Sports, et by Andrew Wagner, our insider for our Brew Crew on the Mason Crosby Show. Really appreciate you, Drew, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Mace, the big question, how many kickers got drafted?
There were a few, yeah. You know, okay. That's I didn't watch as many of the late rounds, just like, you know, pick by pick. But yeah, there were a few. I think Steelers maybe drafted
Ravens,
one. Patriots
Ravens
drafted
had
one.
To take a kicker. Raver, yeah.
Ravens took a kicker. So
the Patriots,
yeah. The Patriots, and yeah, I think
Patriots and Ravens. Patriots
and Ravens.
Ravens.
Those are the only ones. Yeah,
Andres Borregales from Miami and Tyler Loop from Arizona. Four picks apart in the sixth round.
There you go.
Kickers need love, too. Kickers need love, yep. too.
So, yeah, kickers are people, too. You know, don't forget about us.
We tell Molly Crosby that every day.
Yeah,
kickers
I tell her that too. Every, too. Yeah, I'm like, you do. Just be nice to me, sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm a kicker. I need love, too.
I need some love.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Drew.
All right, you guys. Take care.
All right,
too.
Later.
Talk to you Thursday. That's Drew Wagner joining us every Monday and Thursday here on the Mason Crosby Show. We got like open segment next, I feel like. I know on the rundown we have NIL. We probably have a little more Bucks we want to talk. We probably have a little more Brewers. We definitely have more Packers we want to talk. And of course, we have to talk about NIL and high school sports coming to Wisconsin. Shedeur Sanders, is that the first time we've mentioned his name? If I was Shedeur Sanders, Mason, I would have flown to the draft Friday. I told you this. I would have flown to the draft Friday night, been there Saturday morning. You know you're getting drafted at some point Saturday. I would have come out on the stage, WWE style, and just talked smack to literally everyone. I would have taken the mic for 15 minutes and just been like, all y'all passed on me. All y'all have no idea what's coming for you in the NFL. It is the Shedeur Sanders era, and I am here to blow the doors off of everybody.
I got it. Verbal meme. The celebration, the guy popping the champagne on the pedestal is Shedeur Sanders, and then the other two guys get shown on the pedestal, and it's Jackson Dart and Cam Ward.
Oh,
yeah, right there. Just like him celebrating in third play. And Dylan Gabriel, for that matter, because he's on his team, too.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. That's Tyler Shue. You could have a 10-person pedestal.
That was
actually
the most Cleveland draft I've ever, like, yeah. Like, again, I like to trash on Cleveland, but I mean, you take two quarterbacks and you
to
trade.
To be a fly in the
Travis
wall of
Hunter,
that quarterback room the first day they have a meeting in their quarterback room in Cleveland, I want to be a fly on that wall and just hear, like, like, is everybody just like, there's five of them, so are they all sitting like four corners plus one in the middle, and like they all like don't even acknowledge each other's existence?
Better scenario to be fly on the wall, Jeff Ulbrich's house yesterday, talking
crazy
to his child. That might be a way more fun conversation to listen in.
For those of you who don't know, Jeff Ulbrich is the coach with the Falcons.
At DC for the Falcons. He was the interim who got in for Robert Saleh. He was the Jets head coach this entire season.
His son took Shador's phone number off an open iPad, and he's the one who made the prank call to Shedeur.
Unbelievable. That whole place is locked down now. It's right, like, so, yeah. I'll tell a story about like lost playbooks and things like that from Green Bay. Yeah, we'll dive into a bunch
of
stuff.
And John
here
in Milwaukee, hold on. We'll get to you first coming out of the chute. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.